Dearly beloved in Christ, we are well into the season of Lent, and it seems like a long time ago that we received the ashes on our heads on Ash Wednesday as a symbol of repentance for sin, for our greater humility, and an acknowledgement that we will one day render an account for all the deeds, both good and bad, that we have done in our lives. As we look back upon the week of Lent, the weeks of Lent behind us, we ought to examine where we have failed against the spirit of Lent and strive to do better. For Lent is arguably one of the most spiritually beneficial seasons in the liturgical cycle. A time when we do battle with ourselves by means of fasting and penances. If we should need to amend our wayward lives, Lent is that time. A time to throw off fallen human nature and to really focus on attaining the virtues that we need to make reparation for our past faults, failings, and sins. But of course, we always strive to work on the virtues that we need, but God undoubtedly smiles upon the fervent Catholic who strives even harder during the Lenten season, weak as our efforts may prove to be, to chastise the flesh that we may increase in fortitude, humility, love, and wisdom. Now is the acceptable time to overcome our faults, especially the predominating one, the predominating fault, which is the one by which we commit the most faults and the one that we are most drawn to. It goes without saying, of course, that we must strengthen our wills so that we do not fall into grievous sins, mortal sins. Fasting and abstinence that we take upon ourselves during Lent are immensely helpful in the spiritual life and are excellent means of strengthening our wills so that we can overcome temptation. Of course, it is not the actions themselves, though, but the grace of God that makes them profitable. Truly, no matter how much someone fights against the world, the flesh, and the devil, no matter how many meals he skips, no matter how long he fasts, no matter what his sacrifices are, no matter what he does, if he does not offer them up to God and God blesses his actions, then they are useless to bring about that supernatural abundance of virtue and grace. In her wisdom, the Church knew that we, left to our own caprice, would most likely never fast or abstain, or we would find any excuse that we could as to why we are unable to. So she binds those who are 21 to 59 years old, under pain of mortal sin, to fast and abstain during Lent, unless legitimately excused from this obligation. But as mentioned, humble prayer and fasting, blessed by God, is essential to mastering ourselves, that we may not be overthrown by the devil in his attempts to cause our eternal ruin. Amen, amen, I say unto you, said our Lord, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Mortal sin is the only obstacle in our way to attaining heaven. Venial sins weaken us to the point of helplessness in the face of temptation. But if we resist sin and we grow in the virtues that we need to keep us out of sin, then we will be able to fly to heaven. The malice of mortal sin, says the author of a book I was reading, is threefold. It is first and before all else an act of rebellion against divine authority. And he quotes, "Vile as I am, soul and body, by sin, I put myself on an equality with God, as though I were as good as he. I refuse to accept a position of subjection and inferiority. It is so with every rebel and his liege lord. When we commit sin, we make ourselves the center around which God and everything else is to revolve. This is surely the worst part of sin, the personal opposition of the creature to the Creator. Every mortal sin is a clear and unmistakable repetition of Satan's non serviam, I will not serve. Though the human being does not sin in the full blaze of light which illuminated the angelic minds, even at the moment of their disloyalty, nevertheless, his act is essentially the same as was theirs, since it is a direct attack upon God's power and a direct insult to his majesty. The second aspect of the malice of mortal sin deals with its ingratitude. The Almighty not only stands in relation to me as my king, the supreme arbiter of life and death, but he also occupies in my regard the relation of creator, preserver, and father. He did not need me as a complement of his glory, yet out of his benefice he drew me out of nothing. The third aspect of the malice of mortal sin is this, that mortal sin is an act of spiritual suicide. It is the deliberate extinction of the soul's life by a turning away from God and putting one's choice in creatures. It is a clearly expressed choice of wrong rather than right, a preference for eternal death over eternal life. The person who sins deliberately says, I hate God, and I love that which he loathes and holds in abhorrence, and I prefer never-ending separation from him and everlasting misery to his eternal companionship in the midst of beatitude. What madness, then, is mortal sin? For a moment's gratification, for the merest insignificant and unfulfilling pleasures, I am willing to sacrifice the only permanent happiness to which I can attain. A great mystery that confronts us when meditating upon sin is the fact that it is so common, common even by those who have the true faith. But some may be tempted to think that the broad and easy path of the world is enticing and filled with joys, but they forget that the moment they turn their backs on God, having once served him, they betray him just as Judas did, all for a couple miserable pieces of silver. The constant peace and blessedness of God's service is so much more rewarding compared with the occasional crosses and the restraints which are the small price that we pay for it. Let us ask Jesus to fill us with a deep and earnest conviction regarding the necessity of that continuous watchfulness that St. Paul speaks of when he says, not that we are able to attribute anything to ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, says Christ, and experience demonstrates that watchfulness and prayer may never be relaxed. And let us not be discouraged, even though we may have lived a wayward life in the past, for despair would but add to our guilt. Let us rather, through our tears of sorrow, look meekly up to him who loves us with infinite tenderness, begging God for the grace to show him the sincerity of our repentance by henceforth leading Christian lives. And there is no better season to do this than the season of Lent. So as we continue through this Lenten season, let us renew our good resolutions and arm ourselves with the shield, the sword, and the armor of prayer, fasting, and penances, that they may help us to keep up the pious lives that God has blessed us to be living, or so that we may be strengthened to subdue self and overcome any temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is the month dedicated to St. Joseph, and we recently celebrated the feast of St. Patrick, saints who undoubtedly understood the necessity, the power of prayer, mortification, and penance. We should call upon these great saints to assist us and to intercede for us that we might fulfill our Lenten resolutions and obligations. If we have any and that we have made, any, or if there are any obligations that we have toward Lent, thus enabling us to triumph spiritually over our lower passions. Truly, as St. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And what did he mean by this? He meant that when he felt himself tempted, when he was humbled by the harassment of the devil, then he had recourse to God. Then he would turn in prayer to the saints and implore their aid, asking them to pray to God for him. This is why he finds strength in his weakness. Because when he is faced with a foe, he knows that he cannot defeat alone. He turns to God and prays with fervor for the graces necessary to overcome his adversary. And as St. Paul also says, we can do all things in him who strengthens us. So we ought to follow the example of St. Paul, calling upon God to fortify us spiritually so that we may avoid sin And let us not forget to call upon the angels and saints in heaven to assist us as well. Let us renew our efforts to make a good finish to the Lenten season, saying to ourselves, I have entered upon a most solemn time in the liturgical calendar, and I do not intend to lose the opportunity that lies before me in the few days left to shun my old sinful habits and to put on the new man, to do God's will and to suppress my own will, to live as though when I die, I will be held accountable for my actions, to show forth God's glory and to save my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.